Welcome to the Optimal Body Podcast. I'm Doc Jen.
And I'm Dr. Dom, and we are doctors of physical therapy, bringing you the body tips and PT pearls to help you begin to understand your body, relieve your pains and restrictions, and answer your questions.
Along with expert guests, our goal of the Optimal Body Podcast is to help you discover what optimal means within your own body. Let's dive in. Okay, so I gotta tell you that I actually tried a different beef stick when we were in Minnesota just because it was in the house and people had left over some packaged foods, you know, it was wrapped up, don't worry. But I tried a different type of beef stick and I immediately regretted my decision. I mean, not only I knew that the beef wasn't the best, but beyond that, it was disgusting. And I have a whole new appreciation for Paleo Valley, like beyond what I already did. Like, I already knew it was delicious. Anywhere I brought it, people were always super excited to try it. But it truly is the best tasting. And beyond, again, the taste, it's actually 100% grass-fed. You know what you're getting in your body. You know what Paleo Valley has because they're super open, transparent, and actually good snacks that you can have and you fuel your body. But I'm going to tell you that they beat out any beef stick. So delicious, so good. So if you haven't tried Paleo Valley, head to our link and go try it. So if you haven't tried it, go to our link, click it, and use Optimal for 15% off your first order. And I promise you, you are going to be a happy camper.
All right, we're going to be talking about another bursitis, which if you remember that, it's just irritation of a bursa, which is generally meant to be there to prevent friction or rubbing of different tendons. And the tendons we're going to talk about are part of the pes anserine area, which is on the inside of the knee. And it is made up of three main muscles that kind of all insert right in that area.
Yeah. So if you feel like it's not next to like the kneecap or the knee joint, but if we go down from that area, it's on that lower leg. So it's, again, not associated necessarily with the knee joint. So it's going to feel different. It's could because it's more associated with those three muscles that Dom alluded to. So this is the sartorius muscle. So it comes from that lower inside leg or the lower leg on the inside. And then it wraps all the way up and across the thigh to our hip bone. And then we also have the gracilis, which again is going to attach to that same area. And then it's going to come up in our pelvis. So that's like our inner thigh. Think of it like a long, skinny adductor muscle. And then we have the last one that also attaches into that area. And it comes from the hamstring. So this is our semitendinosus, particularly that tendon that comes from that hamstring group.
And this is like one of the really cool areas of the knee specifically, where like these three muscles are attaching, but they do motions in all of the different planes of the knee joint and of the hip joint.
Yeah.
They make our hip externally rotate. They make our hip extend. They make our hip flex. They make our hip adduct and abduct. So again, this is just kind of an area in the knee that can have lots of things pulling at it. And that's why we can get some irritation there.
Yeah, exactly. And I think it's the root of pes anserine is goose foot, right?
Yes. Well, pes is Latin for foot and anserine is Latin for goose. So
there you go.
The goose's foot.
Yes. And that's where we have those three tendons kind of coming and meeting at that same area, which is that little spot on the bone that we call our pes anserine. And as Dom said, we have a bursa that is right underneath that area. Yep. And it essentially just lies right underneath those three tendons, because as you could imagine, just like we said, they kind of pull in all different motions. So we have this bursa sac, the synovial like fluid, to really kind of help protect the friction that is going to happen on that bone, because it's going to happen. You have a lot of pulling in all different directions.
And just like anything, so I mean, kind of to list out a few of the signs, if you might be experiencing something like this, anytime our bursa gets irritated, we might have a little bit of that swelling or fluid or just tenderness in that area. And this tends to be one that kind of creeps up on you a little bit. It's not, again, you can really irritate it in one fell swoop. If you don't normally run and suddenly you go and run 10 miles, you might wake up and throughout the 10 miles, it might be creeping up on you, but you'll have some tenderness, it's kind of 2 inches down on the inside of that leg. And again, you might then after that have pain if you're walking or sitting to standing, going upstairs. If you try going back to exercise or activity, then you might have pain in that area.
Yeah. And when we're talking about like tenderness, so if you feel down like right below that knee on the inside, right, and you kind of rub it and then you rub the other side, right, because we're always looking for what is your body's normal. And honestly, if you've never touched this area of your body, it might be tender. So it's really, we want to not just look at it as tender to the touch, but tender during movement. Is it functionally kind of holding you back from some of the things that you love to do?
Especially around our knee, because there are so many things that can be really tender around our knee if we poke and prod hard enough. So what are some of the things that might contribute to us developing this bursitis?
I mean, bursitis in general, we're thinking it's the things that are done repetitively over and over and over again without any mindfulness in the other direction or in a different way, right? And so if we're continuously kind of tugging right at that tendon, the same motion, the same way over and over again, that could eventually lead to some tenderness and some inflammation right into that bursa.
Because again, this, like these bursa sacs, they're meant to reduce friction of those tendons rubbing over that bone, the tibia, which is that lower bone of our leg. And the bursa is meant to kind of like prevent a lot of rubbing there. So if we're doing things repetitively, or if we're doing things with slightly, you know, suboptimal mechanics for our body, that would put more pressure through those tendons, that could contribute to it, or some things that just might increase the friction overall.
Right.
Like if we already have osteoarthritis of the knees.
Yeah.
If we are somebody who has diabetes, that can create more friction or less lubrication in those areas, or even somebody who might hold a little more weight. If you are a little bit obese, that can, again, just create more friction with the same movements.
Right. And a lot of times, you know, what I don't like about just looking at like, oh, higher BMI, obesity, you know, what these things tend to have in common as well is just a higher rate of sedentary lifestyle. So maybe not quite moving quite as much. And we know we can't look at BMI as a determining factor because that so many different factors, you know, contribute to BMI as well. However, if we're looking at going in toward obesity, are we moving enough? Are we putting load in different areas rather than just one repetitive area over and over again? So I think those are really the factors that we get to look at. And I know one of the studies that said people who have OA, they reported up to 75% of people found that kind of irritation in that area, in the pes and serine.
Yeah. And so again, that's just people who in their knees already have less padding,
right?
Find that that bursa gets irritated a lot more. So then that makes a lot of sense to me.
Which we've talked about OA in the past. And we also talked about it as not just being local, right? So if we're having inflammation, within the body, it's not just usually local, but it's systemic as well. So it makes sense that you would have other areas of the body that are also, especially with diabetes, if it makes sense that you have other areas of the body that are feeling more of this inflammation and kind of reacting toward it.
Another population we see this in often is athletes. And, you know, again, not because they don't have the musculature, they don't have the movement patterns to be able to support through all their movements. But I mean, I know specifically if I got into football camp and we jump into doing 2-a-day practices, like you're going to have areas of your body that might not have quite been ready for that increase in training volume. And so you're going to have maybe a few different areas. One of them could be your pes and serine that just gets irritated because you have three muscles that do all the different motions across the hip that are crossing that area.
Right, exactly. You know, if you suddenly are like, okay, I'm ready to get into it. Maybe you're like, I'm not an athlete, but I'm feeling this, because you suddenly are like, I'm going to go run, I'm going to go sprint. Like all of a sudden you took your training volume and you increased it, you know, over a short period of time. So rapid increases in training volume can start to see these different changes that you haven't quite prepared the body for, which is what we're going to talk into as well. But I don't really like when they say, you know, like, oh, flat feet contributes to it,
Or valgus, like
muscle imbalances. And like, what does that even mean?
Totally. Flat feet or knee valgus. Again, like I know plenty of athletes that make a hard cut and their knee goes valgus, or plenty of people who have more like flat feet, but they don't have any pain and they right. perform at a very high level. So again, it doesn't have as much to do with how it looks, but how well you can control that in extreme ranges. Or if you're doing it repetitively uncontrolled, that's a lot different than just maybe presenting with slightly flatter feet or slight knee valgus, but being able to control it through all of your explosive movements, all of your athletic movements. Yeah. So yeah, they can, if someone has pes anserine bursitis and then you look at them and say, oh, well, you're running and you're going into uncontrolled pronation, and that's, it can be a contributor, but you're not going to look at somebody who has flat feet and say, you're going to have pes anserine bursitis.
Like, I know.
It doesn't go that other direction. So,
and muscle imbalances, like we're going to have muscle imbalances throughout our entire body. We're more right hand dominant than left hand, or we're more, you know, we kick with the right leg more than, you know, we're just going to have differences throughout the body. So I don't like that one either. And I think as we go into and talk about these specific muscles more, you'll understand that it's becoming more adaptable in all of these different ranges and strength that we have available within the body.
Yeah, and when we go into, you know, treatment, okay, if I'm starting to feel this, if I'm starting to get some swelling on the inside of my lower leg, like, what do I do? I mean, the first thing we like to always try and do is maybe reduce some of that pain, reduce some of that irritability, get the swelling to come down a little bit. So, you know, before, of course, we return back to really high level impact stuff.
What are some ways that you like to reduce swelling?
I like to lay with my legs up against the wall.
That's a good one. We are talking about lower extremities, so that works.
Right. I mean, I guess that's just one that's fun to do at the end of the day, especially yeah. if you've been up on your feet a lot, if yeah. you've been dealing with this, if you still need to go to work and you're standing around, like sit with your butt kind of scooted up against the wall and your legs straight up in the air. And if you just sit there and like pump your ankles and just hang out for 5 or 10 minutes, it can be, I love the feeling of that. So that's always pretty nice. Again, just general movement of the legs is going to help do that. Getting your ankles pumping, getting your knees pumping. I also love to do some lymphatic flow stuff.
Yeah. So
like dry brushing to get the lymph mm-hmm. flowing. If you have inflammation in the local area, if you get your lymph flowing systemically, that's going to be great at just helping bring down a little bit of that swelling a little bit.
And we did do a podcast on lymphatic drainage. If you want to listen back to that one. Also, you know what I thought was really cool the other day? You weren't here, but I had two PTs actually over.
Yeah.
And Shantae Cofield, shout out to the Movement Maestro. She said that she had taken someone's course and it was all about lymphatics, and she gets some knee swelling. And it's something yeah. that she's kind of always battled and she continues to work through. And anytime she gets knee swelling, she just does a little bit of lymphatic work up on her left, like right above her collarbone at her subclavius. And she does some work with like the Corgis ball and the therapy ball from Tune Up Fitness. And when she does work there, the next day she wakes up, no more swelling in her knee.
Yeah. And that's where doing a few things like that, or doing some breath work.
Breath work.
If we do some yeah. like really good focused breath work, we have so many lymphatic nodules that live underneath our rib cage, mm-hmm. that live kind of in our hips by our pelvic floor. Again, up under our collarbone is where all of our lymph dumps into yep. our inferior vena cava, which is kind of how it gets all back into the system. So again, it makes sense that if you work on some of those central lymph nodes, you can get the stuff peripherally to flow a little bit better.
Exactly. And then we always just want to look at, what are we putting in our body? Is it inflammatory to us individually? You know that we all have different sensitivities to food and nutrients. Are we getting adequate nutrients? Are we getting enough water? Are we sleeping? Are we mm-hmm. super high stress levels? Like, we have to remember that systemically, this all plays a role in swelling and inflammation.
And then if we get all that to come down, if the knee's not as sensitive anymore, then we just kind of start to assess on a step-by-step basis, okay, how is my range of motion? How's mm-hmm. my range of motion at the knee specifically? Can I flex the knee all the way back? Can I extend the knee all the way? How about at my hips? Because again, all those muscles come up and cross the hip. Am I able to go into internal and external rotation? Am I able to extend the leg fully?
Mm-hmm. And if you need a little bit more guidance on an assessment, yes, you can always go see a physical therapist, and we recommend that 100%, especially if you're currently in pain. However, if you just want to explore your range of motion in your body, you know that we have a self-assessment tool in the Mobility Method. So you can go yeah. through and really assess where your, especially your hips. Like, I think we kind of know flexion and extension, we're kind of getting an idea, maybe if you follow me on Instagram and hip internal and external rotation, but like to really pinpoint, okay, where should the range of motion be? Where am I? It's really good to just get this test and kind of see where your body is.
And then from there, do we have strength in all of these motions? Can we actually put tension through the muscles in all of these planes across the hip and then functionally progress that into standing movements and dynamic stuff, and then more so like sports specific things?
Yeah, what you like, and sports specific means what you like to do in your everyday life, right? Yeah. So if that's carrying groceries because you got to do it outside of the car and kind of twist or hold a kid at the same time, you know, it's like those are all functional sport related activities to your life.
And so if we're talking about each specific muscle and maybe a couple things that we can do, because there's three of them here, so how can we even pinpoint like, okay, what should I do for the gracilis? We talked about how that's on the inside of the leg, might be one of those groin muscles or adductors that more so brings the leg back into center. We could do adductor rock backs or Copenhagen planks. These are things that we've mentioned before in podcasts or on Jen's feed. She talks about a lot of these things. You can even give them a quick Google and those things would pop up.
Or you, if you're watching it on YouTube.
Yeah.
This podcast, you should be able to see those exercises pop up as we talk about them. But, you know, what's funny, I remember also, I love to relate this back to like what people have said before. So my friend who felt like she had a really tight adductor, and then she said that she did the Copenhagen planks, which she'd never done before. Yeah. And all of a sudden her groin kind of, I mean, obviously that's more toward the groin, but that still attaches into the knee as well. And so all of a sudden that irritation and that pain kind of went away. And so I think it's just, it's a cool thing to remember that it's not, you know, just about stretching, but it's also, we need that strength in the area as well.
Totally. And being able to kind of do something that's going to activate and put tension into all of these motions, it can really teach your body, oh, this is the area that I may have been ignoring myself. Yeah. Like the sartorius, which is, what is it that you like to say?
It's the Faber muscle. That's what we learned in school, because it does flexion, abduction, so kind of bringing the leg away from the body, and then external rotation, so kind of and it's almost like if you think you're lying on your back and you take your heel and you draw it up along your shin, that is your Faber muscle. That's literally your sartorius, really in its most active state, because it's doing that flexion, abduction, and external rotation. So if you get some irritation with that, or it feels weak or it's hard, you know, that's kind of a good test that you can do just to see how that muscle is firing and acting.
Totally. And the last muscle is the semitendinosus, which if you reach around kind of the backside or the inside of your knee, you'll feel this little ropey muscle on the inside. And that's the semitendinosus. And you can almost follow that to the point that it dives in and then wraps around into that goose's foot. And what that does is it flexes our leg back at the knee and also extends at the hip.
Yeah. And we talked about hamstring strains in another podcast, if you really want to like dive into hamstrings a lot more. But what's cool is like, okay, we don't just need knee flexion and extension exercises, but we also need hip range of motion mobility. We also need hip range of motion control, stability, strength. And then how does that play all together from the foot up? Because none of this moves in isolation. We move from our base of support, our feet. So how are our feet responding to all of these things? And so, again, there's no one exercise, one stretch. I'm so sorry to say.
If you're feeling pain at the knee, you're generally going to also have to look at the ankle and the hip and the whole system, which again, there's always a time to go in and find somebody who might be able to help you dice through. Okay, these are the few things that I think would most benefit you to look at. But if you think this might be something you're dealing with, try some of those exercises that we brought up.
Yeah.
Try exploring a little bit yourself and you'll be amazed at what you can find within your own body with just a little bit of your own self experimentation.
Thank you again for joining us on yet another PT Pearl. We just appreciate you so much. And of course, if you need more visuals for each PT Pearl, they are over at Doc Gen Fit on YouTube. There is a whole section for the PT Pearls from the Optimal Body Podcast that you can use to really see what we're talking about. And don't forget, if you really like this, if you're learning from it, share it out, share it with your community, tell us what you're learning, rate and subscribe to the episode, because there's going to be so many more goodies and PT pearls along the way. And if you're ready to dive in even deeper, Don't forget, we have an Optimal Body membership with an incredible community of movers learning with us and moving in their body. Until next time, thank you again.